You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
I am Vince Kelvin, and you're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast. We bring you a diversity of spectacular guests, people who have been able to follow their dreams and make their life work for them in ways that are uncommon. We're doing all of this in preparation of the Cosmic Code online edition of our yearly convention, where we bring you successful entrepreneurs and social artists and entertainers. And today I'm thrilled. I've been so looking forward to this interview because I'm a big fan of his work. We go way, 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 way back. I'm here with Daryl C. Silva, who is a writer, is an actor, and he was awarded as a director 7 times. He's also a pastor and motivational speaker like no other. In 2011, he released the feature-length mob movie Boys, which went on to win Best Film and Best Director. And in 2014, he created the comical, enticing character that I'm sure you're familiar with. It's a sensation on all social media, the Boston Dad, which has and continues to receive millions of views through its Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube popularity. So, Daryl, I am thrilled. It's an honor to have you with us today. How are you?
I am great. It is an honor to be on this show.
So the Boston Dad, how did the character come to be? And for those who somehow have lived in a cave and they're not familiar with the Boston Dad, what is the character and the parody all about?
So we moved to Orlando, Florida in 2014 from Boston. And what happened was I would go to a Dunkin' Donuts, I would go to a local market, I would go to a Starbucks, and I would start asking for various items on the menu. And one episode in particular, I think I was at a Dunkin' Donuts, and I had asked one of the baristas or the cashiers, I said, "Can I please get a hearty blueberry oatmeal?" And she started to turn beet red, and I was wondering what the issue was. And I asked again, I said, "That's a hearty blueberry oatmeal." And she said, "Can you excuse me 1 second?" And I said, "Okay, maybe she's going in the back check." The manager came out, and he said, "Sir, respectfully, you are a valued customer, but we cannot have you hitting on the baristas here." And I said, "What in goodness name are you talking about?" He said, "You referred to her as a hottie several times." I said, "I asked for a hottie, H-E-A-R-T-Y, oatmeal." And he just felt so bad. And I think I got free items for the last or the next week or month from that point on. Both of them were tomato red. It was hilarious. And that kind of an episode continued to happen for a couple months. I'd say to somebody respectfully asking about film, you know, I said, "Let me get you a card." And they said, "What? I don't know what you're saying." And I said, "What a hilarious skit." We were doing a lot of parodies at the time. What a hilarious skit that would make. And we did one, and that one just did so amazingly well. And people actually started to say, "You're on to something here. This is great." They said, "We want more of this." So we applied more skits to the table, put them on YouTube, shared them to Facebook, and each one did better than the next. And that's how it started.
Wow. So I was unaware. I was under the impression that it had started in Boston, and I didn't know that it's following the relocation to Florida that it came to be. And it reminds me of an episode that I truly love when they try to speak to you in Spanish, or then maybe they think that you're Hawaiian
also at Dunkin' Donuts. So I can see how that moment inspired many of your episodes. But anyway, like I said, I'm a big fan, and I watch and rewatch. Now, as a film director, Daryl, you've been repeatedly awarded for your work. So tell us a little bit more about both your work as a film director and also the awards that you've received.
Of course. I did my first student film. It was our first feature film back in, I believe, 2005. And that was called Second Wind, and it did well. We actually shot it back then, as you might remember. Everybody was shooting everything on film. We didn't have the option of shooting digitally. So it was a wonderful experience. The script was good. The film, we premiered it. It went very well. It was a great learning experience. So it really taught me the importance of script continuity, of people going to see a movie and really understanding, following the progress of the film, really getting to know the characters, falling in love with the characters. I mean, it taught me a great deal. So taking the experience from directing that first film, I quickly, like thereafter, I think it was maybe a week after premiering the first film, started writing the second film, which was inspired by true events. It's called Boys. It's a mob movie. And we started filming that in 2007. And we went through, I think, 3 years of shooting in various locations all across New England. And we premiered it in 2011, and it premiered to a standing ovation, which was quite the tearjerker, because after you're working on a film or any project for a number of years, you might feel that this is really powerful, this is great, but for all you know, you're the only eyes looking at it. It might be the worst thing that ever walked off the planet. So to have that affirmation was wonderful. Then we sent it out to various film festivals. One of them was the Beverly Hills Film Festival. And I kid you not, probably 4 weeks before the festival took place in October or November of 2011, we got the word. And we made arrangements to fly out to L.A., probably my favorite place in all the planet. I can't wait to move back there one day. And we ended up, it was the very, I think, last night that they were holding the award ceremony. We ended up going there. It was in Beverly Hills, I believe. I think it was right next to the Beverly Center. And it was a private event. And what's funny was we initially arrived and we said, we're not sure if we want to stay. It's not really our bag. Even though it was great, it just was so many people and it was so loud. We actually said, maybe we'll just leave and go to Mel's and grab something to eat. But something told me, do not leave. And then within a half an hour, they announced Best Film. And they said, it's Boys by Daryl C. Silva. And then I, no sooner than going, accepting the award along with my bride, Lisa, we were walking away and they were already announcing Best Director, Daryl C. Silva for Boys, and we're turning around and walking back and accepting that award.
Wow.
So it was really awesome. It was a wonderful experience.
Now, you have remarkably documented your life, and at some point, I got to watch a documentary about the pregnancy of your wife, Lisa, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And it was truly moving. There's even the moment, I believe, you were out of town and suddenly you got to come back very fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, many people document their lives, but you did it to a degree where it almost feels like did you at the time have a vision of how you were going to use that footage, and how did you manage gathering all that footage? How did it unfold? Was it afterwards you pieced it together? Very moving, by the way. That was one of my favorite documentary pieces that I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, definitely since I think maybe 2001, 2002, I had a, you know, what was it, the Canon GL1, the XL1 back then, all those old cameras we used, those mini DV tapes, you might remember. And even back then, I started documenting our wedding. I was documenting through pregnancies. I was documenting when I would be directing music videos on Sunset and Hollywood Boulevard. And I was even doing behind-the-scenes footage of what the bands at that time were going through. I have footage from the Knitting Factory and, you know, the Rainbow. And I just wanted to always put it together and just show what an independent filmmaker, what an artist really has to go through when they're going for their dream. So to see it transpire so many years later and turn into what it turned into was awesome. And I want to make more of them for sure. But it was a remarkable experience, and truly I had had the vision for many, many years prior.
Well, you were ahead of your time, because it wasn't common to document every step and every move already then. So no wonder why you've had so much success on YouTube and so on. Well deserved.
Yes, thank you.
I'm fascinated. Forgive me. You know, many of our listeners, we recently had comedian Rocco Stowe with us, and we did an event on the power of playfulness. Many are aspiring YouTubers, actors. Yep. Of course, we talk about delivery, from being a public speaker to even being more socially skilled and crafted. So oftentimes the topic reoccurs, you know, the power of delivery, to be more engaging when you communicate. I look at you on camera and your engagement in every second. We're going to talk about also another aspect of your career, the motivational aspect of it. So whether it's a playful moment or a deep moment, you really are engaged with the camera like no other. So what are your best recommendations for acting? What is your own acting recipe, getting into character and so on?
You know, I will tell you that I've been very blessed to have gotten to know many diverse characters growing up throughout life, and to have been in many diverse situations, to have known people that, you know, really struggled with poverty, to know people that had an abundance worth millions, to be in places that were minutely small where you could barely fit two people, and to also, you know, be in mansions that had 5, 6, 7 bedrooms where you could fit 9 people in a shower, you know, if you wanted to. So really studying people and really loving all types of people and having an abundance of grace for a lot of people in many situations truly gave me a lot of love for various characters. So, you know, when I'm playing any character at any time, I really try to tap into, you know, who they are, what they are, and really try to understand their background. That's the acting perspective. But from just, say, a motivational speaking perspective or a pastoral perspective, I think it's really, truly loving, you know, what I do, and just having a true, deep passion and love, you know, for life and for people, and just being excited to be alive, just having an absolute joy, you know, with living and really living in the moment. I love it. I love being alive.
Wow. Beautiful. I was watching the trailer of the monster movie you mentioned a moment ago, Boys, the one that got the award, and you just mentioned that it was based on a true story. So would you mind to elaborate on that?
No, not at all. So it's actually inspired by true events. So there are parts or portions in the movie. I think, like any movie, for example, like even we were watching, my son and I, the new edition, you know, the Bobby Brown story a couple weeks ago. And, you know, then we would go online and search it up, and we'd find out what experiences were real, what was kind of made so that the movie could be a little better. And Boys is no different. There are a lot of true events in there. But then again, when you want to keep that continuity and you want to build a great story in the matter of an hour and a half, you have to also be creative as well. But I grew up very interesting. I grew up when it was, I think, the late 70s, early 80s, mid 70s, whatever, when your father could, and my father did many times over after work. I loved going to work with him on a Saturday, and it would be nothing to go to a bar room on Saturday afternoon and spend 5-6 hours while he'd be drinking with his friends, and they'd be, not him necessarily, but they'd be mafia people coming in and then meeting in the back room, making various deals. There'd be loan sharks there. It would be nothing for somebody to be brought into the back room and be dealt with at one time or another. And here I was, 6-7 years old, playing Kiss, I Was Made for Loving You on the jukebox. And all these various people would be coming in. And from a young age, I was always extremely curious. So I would always study these people, and I was definitely somebody who looked at what my dad was doing many of the time, and, you know, also the kind of people he was dealing with. And my dad was, you know, mostly Italian, so a lot of his friends, you know, had engaged in various activities. And then in the mid-80s, both of my parents kind of got themselves into quite an episode where transparently I was dealing with a lot of, you know, there were drugs in the home, there was a lot of dealing going on, there was a lot of using going on. And that brought in various characters, and I would see various things take place from there. And it's interesting because I was so young, and I was always in tune spiritually, and I would pray, and I would say, God, why me? Why do I have to have this experience or go through these things? Why couldn't I be like the kid next door who's going to Disney every 4 weeks? And it wasn't until I grew up and God made it clear, I believed that I would be a filmmaker, that I would be a pastor, that these experiences would now turn out to be a huge, abundant blessing for me.
Wow. So, Daryl, you also have written many songs, and I'm assuming that you write most or all of your material, and I'd love for you to tell us about also your songwriting.
Sure. I play guitar a bit. I play, thanks to you, I play drums, you know, as well. And, you know, I really love it a lot. But one thing since I was little I'd love to do is come up with melodies. So melodies would just come along all the time. And then once the melody comes along at that point in time, the lyrics, because I'm a writer, they come very shortly thereafter. It's almost like poetry and melody being brought together, and it is something I enjoy abundantly. Because my guitar playing is, you know, okay, a lot of the times I'm hooking up with various people who are amazing guitar players, and I'm singing them the melody, and I'm also singing the lyrics along with the melody, and a lot of times they're having, you know, no issue at all playing along the chords to the melody that I'm writing. So I've done that with a lot of the songs that I've written. That's just been a true blessing for me.
Both of your kids are also extremely talented. I think if I came across your son, the way he raps, I would be a little starstruck, you know.
Yeah.
Watch the videos with my girlfriend. And so they're both very talented. And I'm wondering, curious, what the dynamic is like of creating and filming with your family?
It's amazing. It's an absolute blessing. It's awesome, and it really helps to bring the family bond closer together. I think, you know, I spent a lot of time in L.A., and my wife was a social secretary and nanny for many celebrities for many years, and some of the things that we would talk about were how a lot of the fees, which is okay, but a lot of these filmmakers or directors or producers would be living on the set for 16 to 20 hours a day for months at a time, and their families would be raised a lot of times by, you know, nannies, and, you know, their influences in their life were other than their actual parents, and there was really not a tight bond there. They were doing a great job providing for them, but the bond wasn't necessarily there. So, you know, I knew early on, with my wife having a lot of background and a lot of experience in the industry, I knew that that dynamic really had to come together. So once both of the kids, you know, whether they decide to pursue that or not, showed a natural passion for it and an interest for it, boom, it was just automatic. It was like a no-brainer. I just started to write all these projects where we would act in these and be in these together. I actually have another short film that's going to premiere probably within a month called Finding Freedom. It's a faith-based domestic violence awareness film. It's got a very powerful message on forgiveness, and that's all of us. My son and myself are actually the primary actors, and my daughter and my wife have a, you know, very small part in it. But, again, I enjoyed it tremendously. I enjoyed working with them. It's an awesome dynamic. It definitely brings the bond a lot closer.
It's truly beautiful. And, you know, for our listeners, personally, I'm always very fond of people who find a unique dynamic and make it work. You know, one of the speakers at the event, for example, he has five kids currently, and he's managing that so remarkably. So there's always a way. I was inspired, I know, but in my days with Tony Robbins, there was a woman that worked for him who went on to have a spectacular career herself, Lauren Slocum. And at some point, she was a little bit of in a bind because she was pregnant. But at the same time, she loved her position touring the world with Tony Robbins. And while many would debate and think that they have to choose one, she found a way that was so inspiring to take the kid on tour with her, and I've witnessed her firsthand being so resourceful. She ended up writing a book on what techniques she used to make that happen. And then she went on to teach women and couples how to make that happen. So let that inspire you. If you're listening right now, you know, don't hear necessarily the surface structure because we all have our own ways. But, you know, I love just those who defy the odds and create a lifestyle that is theirs and is not common, but is very inspiring. So props for that. Now, you're also a pastor, incredibly moving. I've watched many of your sermons. Is that how you would want somebody to refer to them, or your videos? They're very inspiring. You're a natural-born motivator. So if you care to elaborate on that aspect of your work, and if I'm correct, I've also seen pictures or maybe parts of videos where you do a form of hands-on healing. So, and again, forgive me if some of my terminology is a little off or you would refer to it differently, but I'd love to hear about that aspect of your career and their props too for managing such a polarity.
Thank you. Thank you. No, the way you're wording it is absolutely awesome. It's perfect. It was actually before, I think the weekend before the Beverly Hills Film Festival when we came out there for the movie Boys and then shortly thereafter won both awards. A friend of mine from New Hampshire, from New England, had called me. And it was a couple that we're very close with. I actually went to high school with her. Many years ago, I rewrote the Naughty by Nature's You're Down with OPP to You're Down with G-O-D. So that had inspired her, I guess, for so many years, and she never forgot it. And she had gotten in touch with me. Her and her husband had came to one of the local theaters to see the movie, and I think she was deeply moved and proud of all the accomplishments. And she said, I really feel it in my spirit. I really feel like I'm supposed to invite you to this event called The Encounter that is taking place, she had said at the time, this coming weekend. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'll be packing to L.A. We have a film festival to go to. And I was trying just to be very transparent, find any excuse to get out of it. Because I said, oh, goodness, what is this thing going to be? Is it going to be one of these crazy events? Is it cultish? Is it this? I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with it. No, thank you. And I was kind of on a bit of a natural high. I was excited we were leaving to the film festival. But she just was persistent. I said, well, I can't afford it. I need my money for the trip. No, no, it's covered. Don't worry. You don't have to. I'm like, I can't get out of this thing. Any excuse I come up with, she won't let me out. So I finally agreed to go to one day. And I went, and it was so powerful. It was so moving. They dealt with various you know, subjects, and they were very deep, very spiritual. They dealt with father wounds and mother wounds and unforgiveness, and just then after they would do these discussions, you would go up and you'd have somebody that would really pray with you, talk with you. They would pray healing over you in those particular areas, and I just thought it was fantastic. But, you know, and they said, well, the closing will be the following day on Sunday, where we'll be praying the Holy Spirit over everybody. And I said, oh, boy, well, that's something I won't be attending. And again, I tried to get out of it, and I was being honest. I said, I can't. We have somewhere to go, and my wife needs the car. And they said, no, we'll pick you up. And I said, oh, here we go. So I agreed. And on that particular morning, I don't know how to quite explain it. They prayed over me, and I remember I was so, not in a mean way, but I was so stubborn. I was so, you know, like, nope, I'm not going to accept any of this. Nope, you can't. And somebody there said there was a voice, and that could have been extremely spiritual. It could have been out of the body. It could have been someone standing there. They said, just let go and let God. And as soon as that was said, the next 20 minutes, I just remember having an amazing out-of-the-body experience. It was like no other experience I've ever had, and I believe that to be the Holy Spirit. And from that day on, everything for me just completely changed. My focus had really become just so clear as to what my life would entail, what I was to do, what my mission was, and I just became a completely changed person. I went home that evening, and I said to my wife, without anyone coaxing it at all, I said, forgive me for anything I've done to hurt you or said to hurt you. And she just says, I came home a completely different person. And indeed, I'm extremely imperfect, but at the same time, I am definitely striving for that perfection daily. And I'm a changed man from whom I was. So I, you know, want to also continue to inspire others to do and be the same. And I feel like I'm on a mission, and I feel like I'm accomplishing it.
Yeah, you're doing beautiful, beautiful work. Daryl, in your videos, whether it's you when you're rapping, when you're preaching, or yep, when you're doing the Boston Dad, or even in the movies, your delivery is really flawless. It's very witty. It's impactful. So tips for all public speakers and communicators of all types.
Amen. I would say confidence is definitely key. Once you're sure about who you are, what you're doing, and you're very clear and sure about what your gifts and talents are, it doesn't matter what anyone else says about you or about your craft. Once you know what it is you are to do and what you're to say, and you don't allow the outside world or the words or the negativity to influence you, what you'll be able to do is just amazing. I will share with you that when we first started with, say, for example, the Boston Dad, and we started to get all that wonderful feedback, and, you know, it was wonderful, but it first started to go out amongst people from, you know, New England and friends and family. So even if there were people out there that did not care for it, did not care for myself, that wanted to say a maybe negative or harsh remark, they didn't, because they said, oh, he knows who I am, or might know somebody who knows me. I want to encourage people that once your stuff and your material or whatever it is starts to go third party, meaning, you know, a third party website or a popular Facebook page or whatever it is, or an editorial shall pick it up, and now people that don't know you from a hole in the wall can start to really say what they want to say, and a lot of what they call them trolls will not be so kind at all. Do not allow that to deter you. A lot of people have a tendency to focus on that 1% of negativity and completely throw to the side that 99% of positivity. So don't take that negativity in. remember, hurt people, and a lot of times that's coming from envy, it's coming from jealousy. A lot of people might be wishing they had what you had or could do what you do. Just stay focused on the positivity, stay focused in spiritual, stay focused in prayer, and just continue to move further ahead. And if you're okay with doing something 2, 3, 4 times until you get it right, just clear your head and just go for it. That's all.
Phenomenal. What recommendations would you have, because you blend being funny and also very deep remarkably well? So to have a certain form of balance in life and the mindset that allows you to attend both.
Yes, I look at it this way. It's like, for example, when you're in a relationship, you're going to have your laughs. You're going to have your sensuality. You're going to have your romance. You're going to have your, you know, deep talks when, you know, somebody or your partner might say something that, you know, you don't care for and, you know, you want to nip it in the bud and this needs to be discussed right now. Just like in life, you're going to have various levels of your character come out at one point or another. Don't be afraid to allow that to happen as an artist. Don't be afraid to allow that to happen, you know, in your life. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, that were, say, deeply religious. Well, you know, you can't do the Boston Dad and also be pastoring because you're going to be confusing people. You've got to be one or the other. You can't. And I completely disagree with that. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to their critique, because a lot of those folks, for example, they only know one way in life. It's like a lot of people will say to me, I don't know how you got up at the age of 23 and just left New England and just went to Los Angeles all on your own without knowing a soul. Like, who does that? Why would you do that? You know, well, I'm unafraid. I love to explore. I love to, you know, that's me. And I would say to people, don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to put out material and find out whether or not it is your best. It's maybe not your best. There's so many people I know that will not do what they love because they're so afraid of the critique they're going to get. And it's like Axl Rose worked on that Chinese Democracy album or whatever it was for years and years and years and years trying to perfect it. And then I think it took like 15 years, and when it came out, it was okay, but it would have been no different had he came out with it like 2 years, you know, after he came out with the idea, being 12 years prior to when it came out. Be unafraid. Go for it.
You've achieved a level of popularity on social media that's a dream to many. So tips, recommendations for that, and I'm assuming also that you did not focus on being popular, that it was the other way around. You focused on your craft, and it just happened. So anything of value to share with us aspiring social media YouTubers and so on?
I would love to. Be very careful on comparing yourself to others. I truly appreciate your encouraging and kind words, and I truly appreciate your sincerity. That's always been a huge, amazing part of your character. I would say don't compare yourself to others, because just how somebody would look at me and say, wow, he does very well on social media, I could then, if I wanted to go there, then compare myself. I see, say, for example, a friend of mine sharing another social media influencer, and here's this person that has 100 times the subscribers or followers or likes that I do. And here, if I allow it to, my confidence level can go way down. Just continue to keep doing your craft. Stay true to what it is that you love to do. Don't try to do something that is popular. Stay true to what you love to do. And those correct or right people that love what you do because you love what you do will definitely find you. I would say material-wise, have have prayer, have faith, have expectations, but don't get disappointed if a video that you think is the greatest thing you've ever done doesn't quite hit. And say, for example, one you don't expect to do anything ends up being the biggest hit. Just keep working on your content, keep working on your craft. I do believe one of the keys to something doing very well is relativity. I think timing has a lot to do with it. For example, if I'm discussing a news story that's popular today and I release my video today, it's very likely going to do better today than it will, say, in a week when nobody's talking about it anymore. If I'm discussing, you know, a relative situation that people go through every day in life that hundreds of thousands of millions will relate to, that video has a likely a likelihood of doing very well versus an inside joke that only me and my friend know, per se.
You've always followed your dreams for as long as I've known you, and I know before that as well. And you're a very dedicated, hard worker. Please, it would be very enriching, I think, to our listeners to hear more about your mindset, about following your dreams, doing what you love, and your work ethics.
Well, I think, thank you so much again, Vince. I really appreciate it. You're such a blessing to so many. I think, you know, it's knowing what I want to do, and this is a true, true passion for me. So it's not something, and bless their hearts, there's a lot of people, LA is very transient, for example, and there's a lot of people that come and say, oh, I think I'd like to do this, and because it looks good, but then a lot of people find out what it entails, and because it's not their true passion, they might say, this was a nice effort, a nice try, okay, I'm done. But for me, I've loved it ever since I was a kid, and I've always known that it's been a gift I had, a talent I had. Again, there's a lot of learning to do continuously, but it was a passion for me ever since I was a kid. So knowing it was part of my calling and knowing that no matter what I had to go through in order to continue to pursue it, I've been fervent about it. So I would say to somebody who knows that this is your calling, you know you authentically, passionately, tenaciously, love it, I would say just don't give up and don't allow the numbers to subject your mindset. So remember, everybody, anybody we love that is a big movie star now started out as an extra. Every huge YouTuber started out with 5 subscribers at one point. You know, do not give up. If it is your passion, if you love it, if you are willing to sacrifice for it, do not give up. Just keep going. Do not quit.
You mentioned before a upcoming release. I did not register the whole name, Freedom, right?
There's the word Freedom in it. Very close. Yep, Finding Freedom.
Finding Freedom. Well, I'm curious what other upcoming projects you have. What are you currently focused on?
Well, I'm definitely focused now. I got away from it for a bit because, like yourself and everybody else right now in the world, things have taken a little bit of a turn and a spin for many of us. We have to stay faithful and joyful. So I kind of got away from doing some of the Boston Dads on a regular basis, but I am committed now. I'm back to doing them on a regular basis, releasing about 2 to 3 new either episodes or skits or rants a week. I want to stay focused on that. You know, I'm right now really learning or continuing to learn how to kind of work all the different mediums. When I first started Boston Dad 4 years ago, there were no Facebook video. There was not Facebook video. There was not Instagram video. It was you put it on YouTube and you share it out. But now each platform would love its own media. But I think I'm just going to focus on YouTube and sharing that to Instagram and Facebook in order to build one medium and go from there. So I'm going to do that. And then Finding Freedom, we're releasing that short film definitely within the next month. We'll put that on YouTube and we'll share that to Facebook and a short video on Instagram as well. And then the next big project is a movie entitled 339, and that's based on actually my life story. I wrote that feature a couple years ago, though I am really praying and pursuing finding one or two big names for that movie in order that the distribution of that movie would be a no-brainer, per se. One of the folks I have in mind, if it is God's will be John Travolta.
Amazing. Amazing. I have one final question. Before that, by now, people are probably really eager to see some of the clips of the Boston Dad and so on. So would you please share your social media, Daryl?
Sure, of course. Okay, so YouTube, you would just put in The Boston Dad, and it will come right up. Facebook, The Boston Dad. Instagram as well, The Boston Dad. And through The Boston Dad channel, whether YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, you'll also be able to see our other works as well, per the documentary. You mentioned clips from the mob movie Boys. It's all on that platform.
Amazing. So Daryl will also be one of the guest speakers at the upcoming convention, the Cosmic Code Convention. We focus on three majors of life: mental, emotional, and spiritual, as well as career development, you know, to do what you love and love to do it, and of course communication and social aspect of your life. You can find all the information at Cosmic Code Convention. And Daryl, your greatest realizations about life and a message of hope that you would like to share with our listeners in conclusion.
Absolutely. Stay faithful, stay joyful, stay positive, allow no storm, allow nothing negative to come into your life or into your mindset or into your heart or your spirit. Continue to stay focused and really be confident per your gifts and your talents and passions. Do not let nobody talk you out of it. Continue to be fervent in your walk. We do have this one life that we live, and we want to live it abundantly and with victory.
Well, thank you so very much. I'm Vince Hollywood Kelvin, and we had a phenomenal guest with us today, Daryl C. Silva, writer, director, and the creator of the character, the Boston Dad. Boston Dad.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
There he is, me trying to say Boston with a French accent.
No, I love it.
You know,
it.
By the way, my journey in America started in Boston.
I
was at Berklee College of Music, and right immediately across from Berklee was a Dunkin' Donuts and, and a pizza place. So that was my diet for about 1 year. So I thank you so much. This is really priceless. Thank you for
thank
the friendship,
you.
Also for all the years, the inspiration, and so on. Be certain, everybody, same, that you subscribe to the podcast. I'm releasing a new one every single day. Thank you for listening.
Awesome.
And once again, thank you, the Boston Dad, Daryl C. Silva. Thank you, and be certain to subscribe to Daryl's channels.
Thank you, Vince.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.